Hey, good evening, Stillman.
Good winter evening, Dave. How are you in Arizona?
It's cold where I live now, so it's chilly. I'm wearing several layers.
We haven't got below freezing yet this year in Wisconsin. Well, we haven't stayed below freezing. It's surprisingly warm. It's going to be like 50 degrees this week.
That sounds fantastic.
How's the old anus?
Still, winter's not a good time for the anus. The anal itch always comes back. It strikes hard.
Yeah. Once the air dries
Whatever.
up, the old anus needs more
Anus
mucus.
dries up too. It's a real problem. I don't think there's any type of injection that I can have for it. It's just you gotta strictly just apply the Vaseline and hope and just hope for good things. But I'm not gonna lie, it's burning a little bit right now.
Hopefully it will light a little fire under you, if you know what I mean.
It is, but still, I'm excited. Today, we're talking about some of our favorite things. But it's been a little while since we've talked about our children's. Anything going on with you on the children's front?
Well, we still have just the one, and he's great. The big thing that's happened has been daycare. And daycare is simultaneously both the best thing in our lives and the worst thing in our lives, because it seems like every week he's got some new exotic fever or illness or strange colored mucus, and he's just spreading it through our family. The week we went to my sister's wedding, he had this incredible cold, rivulets of mucus, and then it became pink eye while we were there, and then it became like this bronchial cough. And the week before that, he was just vomiting like 7 times a day for a full week. And was just super happy about it, but he was just puking all the time.
Are you on a like first name basis with the pediatrician at this point?
Definitely. Yeah, we know all the nurses. Dr. Perry's like a close personal friend.
Oh, yeah, winter time. And yeah, daycare. Dude, they all show up to daycare running noses. It's a dangerous place.
They have a rule: if their temperature's over 100 degrees, they have to go home and stay home for 24 hours. And they do under the arm thermometer, so they add a degree to the temperature. Cedar has been sent home at least twice for temperatures between 99.1 and 99.4 degrees.
Hey.
And you're like, come on. We did the temporal scan at home and it's under 100, and we're like, right. And he seems happy and normal, and we're just like, cool. I'm going to spend the rest of the day at home with you and all day tomorrow because you were out running around and got a little sweaty.
Still, I would accept nothing less than a rectal temperature. If you want the core temperature, that's where you go. You get a core temperature, and then you can be done messing around.
It's on my list of things to do for 2016.
So next time they call you, just go in. You got your rectal thermometer and say, "Excuse me, I'm going to go into the restroom with my son for just a second." Boom, you come back, 99.5, you're good to go.
See ya. I'm going back to work. My poor kid. And the other great thing is that he's acquiring language super rapidly. I'll tell you a great story, Dave. The other day, changing his diaper, he's playing with himself. And then as I go to put the diaper on, he goes, "Bye-bye, penis." Then I strapped him up and I said, "Yep, man. Bye-bye, penis. Until next time."
Well, he's only got so much opportunity to see it and to see how it functions.
Yeah.
You're strapping it under a diaper like 24/7.
I know,
Let
when I
him
really
have some
keep it
free.
under wraps.
Yeah. So Steele, my children have been way into Dungeons and Dragons lately.
What? Was it
So
grandma that exposed them to it?
it was a couple weeks ago. We were telling stories around the dinner table, and I told him about how when I first moved to Provo after my mission, the kids in the house I was staying in, they were having Dungeons and Dragons upstairs. They were playing it, and it was just a terrible shock to the system. I was like, "Holy cow, I moved into the wrong house. Things are going really wrong." But the only thing that the girls got from it is like Dungeons and Dragons is a game, and I want to play whatever this game is.
Nice. So, did you get your 12-sided die?
Basically, what we do is we have a Hulk, like a Hulk kind of plush toy. I don't know, he's about a foot tall, and he normally gets kidnapped by the dragon. So he's in a dungeon. Dragon's guarding him, and they then have to make it through a series of obstacles that I set up in order to go save the Hulk from the dragon. And they all choose their characters, like warrior, princess, goblin, or Elsie will frequently choose just like gorilla or Hulk himself. She'll choose Hulk.
Nice. That'll really trick the dragon.
We did two rounds of it right before the podcast tonight, and it was really important. I didn't have a lot of time, but they're like, we got to do this. And my wife looked at me and she said, you told him you would.
So it's just Dungeons and Dragons in name only. It has nothing to do with the actual role-playing game where you're rolling dice and taking critical damage and stuff.
Well, the whole thing about Dungeons and Dragons is imagination-based. Like, okay. The nerds are sitting around the table. We're like, we're imagining, we're doing. We're just being more physically active with what we're doing.
Sounds great. Lifetime health.
Yeah. It's really, we're taking Dungeons and Dragons and giving it a positive physical activity spin that I think a lot of these kids could really use.
Yeah. If only Gary Gygax had thought of that, the game would have exploded.
Yeah, we wouldn't have this childhood obesity problem we have now in the country.
Yeah, I knew it was D&D to blame at the end of the day.
You know, all these kids sitting around the table snacking on their Cheetos when they should be running through obstacle courses.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's great. It sounds like the triplets are off to a healthy start and an imaginative start. What could be better?
Yeah, we do. Pretend play is pretty cool still. Yeah. I'm sure, I don't know if Cedar's doing it yet, but when he does, it's awesome.
He does it with character, like figures and his little vehicles, his trucks. He calls all of his figures Guy. So, Guy, Guy, truck. And then it'll drive around, and Guy will sometimes fall out of the truck, and he laughs, and Guy jumps. And I mean, Guy does a few different things. He knows the name of every piece of construction equipment. He'll be like, backhoe loader. He can say like full phrases of like serious construction equipment. It's insane.
It's interesting when these gender differences that are stereotypical, when they're just completely applied to these toddlers. Like my girls love putting dresses on and pink stuff. They think Cinderella's the best. We've done nothing to like encourage it, but they love it. Pink is everybody's favorite color.
Cedar's so into work sites and trucks and has nothing to do with either of us. I don't even know how to drive a truck.
You can't do manual transmission, can you, Stillman?
I can, yeah, but oh, thank just goodness. Barely.
Well, still, I'm excited.
Stick shift, Dave. First thing I learned when I got in a car.
Oh, man, it's been a while since you slipped one of those jokes in.
It's tough, though, because I'm left-handed and you got to shift with the right, so ambidextrous.
How'd that work for you in England? Did things go better for you? Because you're shifting with the left hand.
Yeah, I failed the driving test. I think I mentioned that a couple weeks ago. So not so much. No.
You can't blame it on the left-handedness.
No.
So, Steele, a few weeks ago, I was on Amazon.com.
Great.
I made a click that I feel like changed my life for the better. I clicked on Oprah's list of her favorite things for 2015. Have you seen this? Have you looked at it at all?
I have not. I know you mentioned it to me, and I saw Oprah's like super airbrush, super made-up face once when I went to Amazon, and I was like, yeah! But I wanted you to keep it a surprise for me. Tell me about it.
Do yourself a favor. I want you to click on it sometime, and you just run through. She's got all her favorite things from 2015. They're listed right there from truffle-flavored chips. She's got those. If you're looking for very expensive clothing items, basically, still, are worth net worth of around $1 billion and you don't have really great taste, I think this list is going to have a lot of things on it for you.
Great.
So it inspired me to list our own favorite things and talk about some of our own favorite things from 2015.
Dave, I couldn't be more excited. It's end of year retrospective. We're just thinking about some of our favorite things. Oprah, as always, is a beautiful inspiration for how to live.
And I don't want to spoil all the things we're going to cover, because some of my favorite things actually correlate directly, exactly, with some of Oprah's favorite things. So we'll talk about it a little bit going forward. Me and Oprah have a lot in common.
That doesn't surprise me.
We're pretty classy. So first thing on our list, Steele, beverage. Do you have a favorite beverage of 2015?
Yeah, I've been loving cold water, Dave.
Whoa, what kind of temperature are we talking? Ice cold, room
Yeah,
temperature?
ice cold. I mean, I don't have a ice maker, or I don't use ice cubes, but I want it as cold as I can get it, pretty much.
Okay, like.
I love getting it out of a good drinking fountain. They call them bubblers here in Wisconsin, but I'm addicted, I would say. I cannot pass a drinking fountain without stopping to drink at it. It's been at least a dozen years since I've voluntarily walked past a drinking fountain.
Steele, I listened to a podcast the other day, and the title of it was Fountain Drinks. And I had my fingers crossed. I was hoping it was going to be all about soda, but it was all about drinking fountains and like the first drinking fountains in England. It was pretty interesting.
Well, consider me a fan of that podcast, because I can't get enough cold water. Stuff's amazing.
I think you'd be way into it. What it talked about, it was I think it was 99% invisible. You've probably listened to it before,
Love
but
that. Yeah, Roman Mars.
it was basically wealthy people were putting drinking fountains in all over London, so the poor people would have clean water to drink because it just wasn't available. So it was like a charitable thing.
That's
So it's
great.
great. So Steele,
How about you, Dave? Favorite beverage?
I have two. I'm gonna
Oh.
be honest. Steele, we went to Disney World earlier this year. And there's a lot of food there that's not very good, but there's one thing that's delicious. It's called LeFou's Brew.
Was this at that Hall of Soda that you went to?
No, it wasn't. There were some excellent sodas there, but LeFou, I don't know, are you familiar with Beauty and the Beast, the Disney film?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so there's Gaston, and then LeFou is his little kind of seedy sidekick.
What?
Yeah,
In the movie?
He's the guy kind of pumping up Gaston, talking about how great Gaston is.
Oh, the
And
little chubby fat guy.
if you're going to trust one person to make you something delicious to drink, I think it'd be that guy, right?
Yeah, for sure. Be our guest.
So LeFou's Brew, it's like a apple cider slushy drink with a hint of marshmallow flavor in it, which is, I see your face, you're already very intrigued, and I'm not even finished describing it to you. On top, there's a whipped cream topping that is passion fruit mango flavored. So you're getting passion fruit whipped topping combined with marshmallow apple cider slush, and you're just drinking it and you're loving every second of it.
Wow, Dave, the only thing that could make that better would be rat urine. Oh, man. You know, passion fruit is one of those things where the name sounds so great, but the flavor is so bad.
It's true. Anytime you start drinking a juice and passion fruit's in the first like four juices in it, yeah, you're making a mistake. But LeFou's Brew, legitimately, I think you would enjoy like one or two swallows of it, and then you couldn't drink it past that. There's too much flavor. It's too sweetness. But just a little bit of it, I think you're gonna
Is
enjoy.
it carbonated, Dave, or is it flat?
It's not carbonated.
Well, then I think I'd try that. I would go for it. Hint of marshmallow in a sugary drink does not sound like a good mix with fruit, but I'm excited to try LeFou's Brew. Can I only get it in the Disney Empire, or is it for sale in the wider world?
You're gonna have to just go to Disney World or Disneyland.
Seems
Although
worth
you
it.
can make it at home. I looked up recipes on the internet and you can do it. You just have to buy a $20 bottle of marshmallow flavoring and then you can do it.
Yeah, it's worth it. So that's the first beverage, but what's number two, Dave? Top that.
I can easily. Doc Holliday soda.
Is it root beer? Sarsaparilla?
No, it's delicious. It's kind of like a cream soda
Hmm.
mixed with a Dr. Pepper, and it's only available in southern Arizona. Pretty much Tombstone, Arizona is the only place you're going to get this thing. The two times I've been to Tombstone, I got it, and it's so good. Well, no, it's not worth going to Tombstone for it alone, but if you're in Tombstone, you seek out Doc Holliday. You have to find it, drink some. It's delicious.
Great. That's awesome. So those are some favorite beverages of the year.
The next one, this was your idea, Steele. Live
Yeah.
performance experience. What are you thinking for this one?
You know, Dave, I haven't been out much because we have a baby and had some health stuff, but I went to hear my wife tell a story, which was fantastic. And we also went to see the musician Damon Jurado And I saw him on back-to-back nights, which is probably for sure the musical highlight of my 2015. I bought tickets to go see him at a regular concert hall. And then the day after I bought tickets, he announced he was playing a house show the night before nearby. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, that's too good to pass up. And so Laurel said she'd prefer to go to the house show. So I bought tickets for the house show. And then I couldn't get rid of the next night tickets. And so I just went to see him back-to-back nights. And it was awesome. He went and played this house show. There was like 40 people. It was a farmhouse in Stoughton, Wisconsin. Played a bunch of beautiful songs. And then he said, put his guitar down. And we're sitting like 10 feet away. And he says, is there anybody that has any songs they want to hear? I just raised my hand. And he said, yeah, buddy, what do you want to hear? And I said, this is the song that means a lot to my wife and I. And he's like, I know that one. And he just played it right there.
What song was it?
It was Beacon Hill.
Okay. Yeah, it's a beautiful song.
We played that at our wedding. We danced to it. And it was cool. We talked to him after the show in the kitchen. And we told him that when Laurel was 8 months pregnant, that was the last concert we went to before Cedar was born, the year before. And so we consider that Cedar's first concert because he was almost fully developed in the womb. He could hear all right. So we saw him, I guess, three times in the last couple of years. But it was awesome. He's a great storyteller, beautiful songwriter, and a really nice live performer.
That's great. Well, I'd heard of him before, but you kind of introduced him to me this year. And, well, you forced me to listen to one of his songs on the podcast. And since then, he's been one of my top artists this year. I've listened to him a lot.
Great. I'm glad he'll grow on you.
So, again, we didn't go to a lot of shows either this year. We moved to a tiny town where no one would ever perform. But before we moved, we went and saw, I spoke about this guy before on the podcast, Gregory Alan Isaakov.
Love and, it. He's like Alan or Isaac Asimov's like bizarro cousin, right?
Yeah, it's all science fiction based music, a lot of electronic stuff.
I know your passion for three named singers too, so that doesn't surprise me.
No, he's a singer-songwriter, Americana, actually very much in the vein of Damien Jurado. I can't say his last name, Jurado, something like that.
Yeah.
And just seems like a really kind man, just really grateful on stage, just really happy to be there performing. And you could tell there was a kind of a real camaraderie with the group he was playing with. And he only played one song that was not good the entire evening. And during that song, somehow I had this sixth sense still that I knew that was the time to go to the bathroom. And I did.
You nailed it. That's perfect, Dave.
Yeah, I love live music. I'm hoping to get out more in the next few years, but I won't because we have more babies coming still.
You better start hosting house concerts.
That's the plan. Still, I'm going to kind of make a left-hand turn here. I'm going to talk about something that me and Oprah share in common. This is our favorite penis-shaped bread trident of
nice.
The year.
Nice, that's right up my alley, Dave. That's not out of left field at all. I'm always thinking about penis-shaped bread tridents.
So, Cecile, you click on Oprah's favorite things, you scroll down a little bit, you're going to find a penis-shaped bread trident. And it's fantastic. Lots of reviews. I want to read actually one of the reviews for you. I love it. I'm very excited about it. This is from Adam W. And he writes, for years, I've searched the internet for assorted size bread penises.
Yeah, nice.
When I found them, they're either way too expensive or uncircumcised.
God.
Well, now I don't have to worry about that. This is one amazing bread penis set. The best part is the single penis with two heads that tangles itself to form the base of this treat. I can't wait to gobble down every inch of this.
Yeah, but so I can see why Oprah's drawn to it. I mean, sounds like everything you're looking for in an uncircumcised penis bread delicacy.
No, it is circumcised. It's actually meant, I believe it's also kosher. It's actually meant to represent a menorah of penises, apparently. So it's $45. Check it out on Amazon. It looks delicious. And it looks like nine penises.
Just in time for the Jewish high holidays. Well, Dave, I was going to say, I hadn't heard of Oprah's favorite. My favorite penis-shaped bread was actually came from a Dublin, Ohio subway. There's a guy on Twitter. His name is Weed Priest. So you know he's a real artist. But he and his buddy worked at Subway. And baked a bunch of Subway loaves into the shape of a long penis with testicles attached and were fired from Subway for that, among other offenses. But they left a permanent legacy on Twitter. And so check out Weed Priest on Twitter, and he could probably custom bake you any kind of bread-shaped penis that you want. Whole wheat, rye, pumpernickel. I mean, he could do it all. Sourdough.
He seems like a talented man.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't realize until I came across Oprah's love for this kind of bread that there was a demand out there for it, and I think there is.
Yeah, I mean, this guy supplies most of urban Ohio, I think.
So let's move on from penis-shaped bread to something near and dear to all of our hearts. Salt. Do you have a favorite salt this year?
Yeah, my favorite salt this year is the salt from Mahatma Gandhi's famous salt march. You know, he led all the Indians, and they were doing a big protest against the British salt tax. So they marched to the sea to make their own salt. It's not for sale, as far as I know, anymore. But boy, that was probably some great protest salt.
Man, anytime you can work salt into your protest, it's wonderful.
Super effective. Unites everybody.
Well, once again, this is amazingly, me and Oprah found the same product.
Are you kidding me, Dave?
No. I was using it. I looked at her site. I looked at her picks, and we just totally agreed. It's called Great Salts with a functional 3-tier salt storage unit.
That one? You know, our friend Benjamin Bannister is really into that salt, too.
Yeah, Ben, he wrote me about it. Did you get the email he sent out?
Yeah, it was great. I couldn't believe it. I was like, Ben, man, we're totally on board. We're thinking alike. You and Dave and Oprah and basically everybody who listens to this podcast, I bet.
Wait, why don't you read what he wrote for us?
All right, he said, hey, Dave and Steele, I use a lot of salts. There are so many kinds out there that I have multiple jars for different kinds of salts. When I saw this, I had to get it. It wasn't for the salt you get, as I already had what was included. It was for the 3-tier storage container. So, I mean, probably most of you listening probably have all the salts included, obviously. But this is a really effective 3-tier storage kit unit that can store your salts at some depth.
Yeah, and if you're looking for a 3-tiered salt storage container that is under $50, this one could be for you. The price isn't actually listed. You have to add it, I think, to your cart before you can actually know how much it costs. But I think this is going to fit your budget. It's a wonderful thing.
Nice. Dave, you and Oprah, same wavelength.
I feel a connection to her. It's beautiful.
Cool.
So, Steele, you may not know this, but I really like mail order catalogs.
M-A-L-E or M-A-I-L?
Both, but for the purposes of the podcast, we're going to talk about M-A-I-L.
Okay.
Have you ever come across the catalog for Hamacher Schlemmer?
No, is that real?
This is a real catalog. I've gone on their website multiple times so that they'll continue to send me this catalog because I love it.
Is it a cold sore relief company? Hamacher Schlemmer.
It's very classy. What these guys do is, like, you've seen SkyMall when you've been on the airplane, right?
Yeah, I was disappointed when they filed for bankruptcy.
It was a sad day for all of us. But Hamacher Schlemmer is keeping that legacy going, except their products are a little bit classier. It's still out there. Like, you're not going to get, like, your pop-up hot dog toaster like you would with SkyMall, but if you're looking for a remote controlled R2-D2 that is actually like a refrigerator inside, so you have them come to you and bring you a cold soda.
No way.
You're going to find that in Hamacher Schlemmer, yeah.
Wow, is this an American company or it sounds very German?
There couldn't be anything more American than this catalog.
Yes.
We hadn't gotten it for a couple of years and somehow they tracked me down this holiday season and they sent it to me. And it just made my month so bright. It was awesome.
Okay, great.
Do you have any favorite mail order catalogs this year? M-A-I-L?
Well, I don't have any from this year, Dave, but I have a confession, and it was as a preteen, as a adolescent, I did have two favorites. My mom used to get both the JCPenney and the Spiegel catalog. And I would surreptitiously sneak those out and, like, turn to the lingerie section and oogle all the women in bras. It was, like, the closest thing I got to seeing breasts as a 12-year-old, and I was, like, way into it. So Coming clean. Spiegel.
That's
Spiegel seemed like the European, the classy ones with more cleavage. And JCPenney was just functional, but, you know, bra models.
So which one was more lacy, would you say?
I don't recall the material of the bras at all. I viewed them more as impediments or obstacles. It was really what was underneath. So the Spiegel was my preference, I would say, if it was just pure on cleavage alone.
Okay, so that's what you'd recommend to your 11-year-old today that's looking for – I don't know what he's looking for, but he's looking for something.
You know, to be frank, 11-year-olds today probably have a lot more options, and it's scary and it's terrifying. But that was the avenue that I took as an 11-year-old.
Well, and look at you now. You're a father. It's wonderful.
Dave, it's true. I had my own issues and things that I had to grow through. And hopefully I have a more mature, healthier relationship about breasts and women's bodies in general.
So, Steele, the next category I'm hitting is animal.
Yes.
I want to tell you about my favorite animal of the year. You're going to be familiar with it. It's a giraffe.
Boom. Great animal.
Just fantastic. The designs on their fur or skin. But what's most impressive is, have you ever fed a giraffe?
I haven't fed one, but I was taking photographs of one as it was eating with its incredible tongue.
It's amazing. A while ago, we went to this zoo where you could basically do whatever you want, apparently. And they had little coin-operated vending things for giraffe food.
Wow.
And so me and Mabel fed the giraffe, and the tongue kind of reached out and wrapped all the way around my hand and got all the giraffe food out. And the giraffe basically licked my entire arm, and it was amazing, and licked Mabel's arm too. And we were just giggling with delight of being able to feed this amazingly tongued animal.
They're like the closest thing to Pearson's puppeteers, I think, on our planet.
a nice Ringworld reference there, huh? Bring
yeah,
it back.
It's all up here, man. It's in the brain.
We've covered a lot of material in 2015.
We really have. Dave, my favorite animal of the year, it's a tie, really. Two animals that we saw at the zoo. One is the otter. They're just delightful.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know what they're like in the wild. They're probably vicious and everything, but in captivity in a zoo, they're just endlessly playful. They're just looping and swimming and sleek, and these little bubbles scoot over their head past their ears, and pew, pew. They're just awesome. They're just great.
It's a great toddler animal, because you can stand there and watch with your kid for a while, because they're doing stuff. They're not just going to be sitting around farting like a rhinoceros. They're going to be active.
And they produce suspense, because they often leave the sight. They go out of view. And so you're like, oh, when's it coming back? And you can keep the kid engaged, because they're not just there performing or gone. They're both there and gone. So that's the first one. And the second one is the kind of opposite. It's this sedentary rodent with an enormous head and face. The capybara. I don't know how you pronounce it, but it's like this South American rat with gigantism, basically. I don't know if you've seen one of these before, Dave. I took a picture of one around Halloween eating a pumpkin. And it's probably my favorite picture I've ever taken of an animal. I just look at it all the time when I'm down. I'm like, yep, that dude can eat a pumpkin. And it's basically, its head is the same size as the pumpkin, although its body is like tiny.
Man,
it's like the Trevor Weed of the animal kingdom.
It's so good when there's an adorable animal just to look at. It provides me so much joy.
Yeah. So just check out capybaras. They're amazing.
I'll put them on the list. Steele, favorite month of the year this year. How are things going for you? What's the month that's working out the best for you?
I would say my favorite month of every year is December. And it's a kind of surprising choice for someone who lives in Wisconsin. But the reason it's my favorite month is because every December for the last 4 years, we have left Wisconsin for 1 to 2 weeks and gone to somewhere sunny, warm, and awesome. And we didn't work. We just were somewhere sunny, warm, and awesome, and we walked around and we ate great food. And it's the best idea if you live somewhere cold, because you break up your winters into two medium-sized winters with this really nice summer in between instead of one long soul-crushing winter. So December is just the best. This year we're going to go to Hawaii. It's going to be the great family vacation.
That's great. How long are you going for?
We're going to be in Hawaii for about a week, and then we'll spend a day or so on the other on each end in the Seattle area.
That sounds great. I'm just going to drive from the cold part of Arizona to Kansas. So we're really looking forward to some beautiful weather as well.
You going to visit Dad at Fort Leavenworth Federal Prison?
Yeah, he's get parole coming up in 2 years, so there's a chance. There's a chance he could come out.
Nice. Well,
Fingers crossed.
hopefully he's not eating people anymore.
Well, they don't allow that anymore, actually. Solitary is
Oh, super
it's
max.
out. Yeah, it's been a hard go. So this year, my favorite month probably changes year to year still. This year, I graduated from school in May, and I was able
Hey.
to never think about nurse practitioner school again after that. So I don't even know what happened in May. All I know is I was done, and then I was just working 3 days a week as a nurse. The rest of the time, I was just playing with my girls all the time. It was like the biggest relief in the world. It just a weight was finally taken off my shoulders. I felt like I could just like fly. I loved May.
I'm getting teary-eyed, Dave. That's gorgeous. May sounds like the most beautiful month ever invented.
This year it really was. It kind of spoiled my girls because I was with them just all the time, and it was just so much fun. I wish every month was May.
That's how I feel about the 2 weeks of December when we're somewhere warm.
So, Steele, I don't want to shock you, but me and Oprah once again on the same page.
Come on, Dave. You guys are like peas in a pod.
I love what she does. I hope she loves what I do. But two things in a row. My favorite matching family pajama set of the year is the one Oprah recommends. Thick red stripes, thick white stripes. The whole family can get in on the fun and just dress alike. I mean, if you want to spend $500 on a matching pajama suit for your entire family, this is the one to do, the one Oprah recommends. It's all we wear around the house at my house.
Wow, that's great. I think matching family pajama sets, there's so many great ones to choose from, really. It's hard to just pick one. But for me, it's an inspired choice because last year I needed new pajama pants. Mine had a hole in the crotch. So,
Yeah.
you know,
As happens to you frequently, yeah.
it's just the friction burns. And so I went to the Ross Dress for Less, and on the clearance rack, I think I've told the story, but I got some TMNT pajama pants, these great ones, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
And little did I know, there are family matching full body zip up Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle pajama outfits available from your local Target. The men's one
Oh.
features, it's a li they're close to matching. The men's one doesn't have a hood. It's just a body, but the body's got like a underbelly of a turtle shell with the waist belt. You got Looks like bandanas tied around the elbow and around the knees. And it just looks like a green plush, fully zipped thing. The best part about it is they have this handsome young African American model who I can guarantee with 300,000% certainty would never in 1 million years ever wear something like this in real life. But getting those checks, you know, working as a model. The women's one is great. They've got a model who looks surprisingly like Lisa Stoffer. And the addition to that one is that there's a hood that comes over the head that has big turtle eyes on the top of it with a little bandana over them. They're just classy all the way.
I don't want to spoil Laurel's Christmas, but is that what she's getting? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
Okay.
I'm going to get the full suit. And the cool part, I forgot to mention this, but the men's one is nice because it comes with a cape, a green cape. That you wear, it's attached, it's just on the back. Because, you know, it's not really
Ninja
men's.
Turtles are well known for their cape wearing. That's just they're always scampering about in cape.
And it's not really men's sleepwear unless there's like a satin cape attached that comes just to the mid back.
And just a tip for all our listeners, anything we're talking about on this podcast today would make a fantastic gift for anyone that you know, just
Including
ever.
us, yeah, either of us, in fact.
Oh
we'll give you
yeah.
Dave's home address, we'll put it up on the website.
You know that I could really use a nice set of bread penises this year.
Yep.
I think we're going to be able to start moving away from where me and Oprah have connected, but it's hard when you just feel this kind of connection that we have. But Hat for a Dog, again, the one that Oprah recommends, beautiful antlers that you can put on any size dog. One word of warning, my friend Jessica says the antlers are actually smaller than the photo, but it's still cute. It's still a passable hat, but a little bit smaller than she was anticipating.
Are these the ones made by American Beagle Outfitters?
Yeah,
Oh,
they make
yeah.
all your best beagle outfitting, vests, pants, beagle boots. It's adorable stuff.
Dogs in beanies, Dave. What could be better? I have to say, I'm a bit conservative when it comes for hats for dogs, and I still think that the original hat antler thing that the Grinch puts on Max to make him into a reindeer is the best. And I'm talking about the original before he cuts it to make it down to size. The one that's so heavy that Max's head droops to the ground and his tail pops up in the air. That is the dog hat to end all dog hats, as far as I'm concerned. Should be in a
Okay.
museum.
And that's a good gift tip if anyone's looking to help steal out. Like, go all the way, guys.
Dave, can I tell you, one of the things that's been the happiest parts of my year the last year have been dance parties with my kid. We used to do them every morning. We don't do them quite as often in the mornings anymore, but we still have dance parties probably 3 or 4 times a week. We just crank on some music. We just shake it. And the kid loves dancing, which is one of the great joys of my life. I want to tell you, my favorite dance party song this year is definitely Kiss by Prince. So good.
And how does Cedar react when we get Kiss going by Prince?
He throws both his hands up in the air and he shakes himself around. Sometimes he does like headstands. He does this dance. He does this game called Run to the Butt, where we'll shake our butt and he'll run to it and chase it around the room. And he goes, "Run, butt, run, butt." Our neighbor Daruk taught him that one. So sometimes he does that during dancing. Sometimes he's invented his own little breakdancing move, and sometimes he'll just like spaz and run and jump into stuff like the couch. But he's into Kiss, and he's into, I mean, Prince generally. And I think Cedar's favorite line is when Prince is like, "Act your age, not your shoe size." You know, that's a great, great line. And Cedar loves it because it's, appropriate for him.
I just love Prince because he's so tiny. So it just makes me, I'm ready to dance to whatever he does because he's just a small man.
Pound for pound, he might be the most sexual man alive.
I think you can easily classify that. Yeah, no problem.
Okay.
No one can hold a candle to what he's doing.
How about you, Dave? What's your favorite?
Still, I
It's not Motorhead, is it?
no, that's I think that's Dan Jenajohn's answer. But still, I love dance parties. We do them at my house
Oh, good.
pretty frequently, and anytime we put music on, Juniper, she's my littlest daughter. She's just so tiny. She'll put her arms up in the air, and she'll say, "Dance with me, Daddy."
I love it.
And so I'll lift her up, and she'll just rest her head on my shoulder. And then she'll close her eyes, and we'll just sway back and forth dancing with Juniper's eyes closed the whole time.
Oh,
And I
man.
tell her it's one of my favorite things, and she's, "Daddy, I love to dance with you."
Dave, at her wedding, you're going to be weeping like a child in the daddy-daughter dance.
I can't think about those things. It makes me uncomfortable to think about my daughters ever
I
leaving.
forgot. Yeah, I won't. At her lesbian wedding, you're going to be weeping like a child in the daddy-daughter dance.
But I'm trying to expand my daughters' their dance repertoire. They do a lot of spinning, some falling down, and they do a lot of moves. But the one of the ways
It
I
sounds
do
like
it,
real Lilith Fair to me, Dave.
yeah, they're kind of limited with what they're doing. I want to expand their dance palette. So, have you ever seen the music video to Lotus Flower by Radiohead?
I don't think I have, but is it Tom York dancing?
It's just Tom York by himself dancing kind of like a maniac for
Epileptic
5 minutes.
seizure. That's how Tom York dances.
And so it's my favorite dance party song. We dance to it all the time, and I'll put the video on and be like, "Come on, let's dance like Tom York, guys." And it kind of takes, but mostly they stick to their spinning. They're not sure what on earth Tom's doing.
Yeah, that's a great idea, Dave. I need to introduce Cedar to some dance videos.
Yeah, just show him that. Like, it could really expand what he's doing on the floor, and it will impress the ladies.
Cedar's favorite song is Horchata by Vampire Weekend. He asks
Wow,
for
that's
it like 20 times a
fantastic.
day. Chata, chata, chata. We've heard it like 6,000 times. It's driving us crazy now.
No, but that's a good dancing song. It's
It's
got
nice.
a beat. I like it.
Yeah, a little Afro guitar riff. It's nice.
And delicious beverage too. That could be on my beverage of the year list.
Good call.
So, Steele, let's stick to activities with children because we love
Ah,
children.
sounds great.
So, where favorite place to take Cedar on a walk or outing?
I've spent hundreds of hours outside of our house just walking around because our kid used to be pretty unhappy indoors and fussy and stuff. But when we went outside, he was just happy. So we'd wake up super early in the morning and he was making too much noise inside. So we'd go outside for a walk. And fortunately, we live right on Lake Mendota and there is a lakeshore nature trail that runs right along the lake and comes out near this big restored prairie and big community gardens area. And we have walked that hundreds of times right by the lake, all these trees and prairie, birds, animals. We've seen all kinds of wild stuff. And that is me and Cedar's jam. We just go on this little lakeshore nature walk. It's awesome.
It's so cool that that's right by where you live. When we
Yeah.
saw you a few years ago, we walked down there with you, and it was beautiful. It's
Yeah.
awesome.
It's a treasure. How about you? Where do you take the kids?
Since we moved to Snowflake, we're just down the street from the high school. So,
Go behind the high school, find the kids smoking.
yeah, we bust the kids. I tell my girls to tell them, "You can't do that." We go to high school track still.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
You can put
and
them
we
in the
were like,
blocks, get them some sprinter shoes.
Elsie loves it. She is honestly way into running. And we just went there tonight, actually. Everybody's got their own number, their lane number that they go stand on.
Oh, that
Every
sounds so
time it's the
fun,
same
Dave.
one. And then ready, set, go. And we have a nice little race.
So they're what, 3 years old now?
Yeah, they're just about three.
What's the sprinting distance before they veer out of their lane or just stop running?
It depends on the one you're talking about. My little Juniper stops almost immediately. Mabel will kind of trudge along, but Elsie, like, I think she would do a full quarter mile lap
Are
if
you serious?
I don't think it would stop. But she usually does about she does the straightaway on the track, however far that is. Like
100
she
yards.
does it. Yeah,
That's
she loves it.
incredible. That's awesome. I'll have to train Cedar up.
Yeah, get him running. Don't just take him on these lollygagging walks. You got to train somebody.
Well, Dave, I want to ask you. I know this year has been a lot of literary exposure for you. Do you have a favorite poem of the year?
Steele, I can tell you exactly which one's my favorite. It's that one about the guy in World War II talking to the shopkeeper that you read a little while ago.
I know the poem. It's untitled, but it's by Charles Reznikoff, and the first line is, "During the Second World War, I was going home one night." You nailed it, Dave. That's a
See,
beautiful little poem. What did you love about it?
I love narrative. So I love when a poem has a narrative structure and just kind of a feeling that you can really jump inside the story and feel and get a feel for what the characters are feeling. And the fact that it was a narrative, it stuck with me. I don't know how many months ago you read it to me. It's a little bit of a haunting story that just sticks with you.
Charles Reznikoff, Dave, you might like him. Look him up and I'll send you a book or something. He is the master of the meaningful small detail, the anecdote that just, he doesn't give you any emotion. He doesn't tell you how to feel. He just describes a very small story and it just cracks you open and makes you feel something just powerfully with restraint. It's gorgeous.
And there's just such a power to storytelling.
Yeah.
People just love it. My daughters love when I make up stories and tell them. Just people, it grabs you so much that I think the best speakers that you ever usually hear weave stories into what they're telling you so that it just keeps you gripped.
Yeah. All right, Dave, my favorite poem of the year, my favorite poem maybe of every year, by a wonderful American poet who was friends with Charles Reznikoff, your guy. His name was George Oppen, and the poem is called Psalm, like the Bible. And I will read it for book wisdom at the end here.
All right, I look forward to it. So, Steele, we just
Yes.
talked about like little day outings that we like to do with our kids. What's a local attraction around you that you've really enjoyed this year?
2015 has to be the year of mustard, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
In Middleton, Wisconsin, which is the town just adjoining to Madison. That's where the Costco is located, so I go there every week. They have a world-famous mustard museum. It was founded by trial attorney Barry Levinson. He's a huge Boston Red Sox fan. He was arguing some case, important case, with like mustard in his pocket. He loved mustard, and he decided, you know what? I'm going to start a mustard museum. And so he has collected thousands and thousands of jars of mustard from all over the world. They're on display at the World's Mustard Museum. You can go and taste hundreds of mustards. You can buy dozens of mustards. And you can buy all kinds of clothing and other artifacts. Their big branded clothing is mustard-colored sweatshirts that say Poop on U. So Poop on University. You know, it's a great joke. It's very Triumph the Insult comic dog-esque. But
very clever. They're clever at the Mustard Museum, huh?
It's awesome. And they have an enormous, like, French's mustard suit that you can go take photographs with downstairs. I've got a good photo of me with it.
Yeah, what's your top mustard that you sampled there?
Well, the mustard that we get now is this, it's the Smoky Onion Gourmet Mustard, Terrapin Ridge Farms. That's what it is. And we go to Brennan's, a local cheese and fruit store, and get it there. It's really good.
One of the genuinely really cool things about mustard is you can do it in a lot of different ways, and it's very delicious. There's some condiments that it's only one taste, soy sauce. That's all you're getting. But mustard, you can do it in hundreds of ways, and each way might be delicious.
Yeah.
So, Steele, now that I live in a small town, local attractions aren't quite as impressive as they used to be. But a couple months ago, we went to the fish hatchery. You ever been to a fish hatchery?
I have. My grandpa used to take us fishing there when we were kids, and then we got fined $100-something because we got caught fishing at a fish hatchery, which is definitely not allowed.
No, that's not what you're intended to do there.
But we were catching tons of fish.
And that would make sense.
I used to think fishing was awesome. It was so easy.
Yeah, we took the girls to a pond near there, and you just immediately catch a fish within like 20 seconds. It was my best fishing experience I ever had. But that hatchery was kind of interesting. They use it to stock all like the local rivers in Arizona. It, just tons of pens of tiny fish getting up to larger fish. And the coolest thing to do was get a little bit of fish food and throw it in, and the fish went crazy. And Juniper would throw fish food in and just run. She'd just run in the other direction so she wouldn't see the fish go crazy. They were a little bit frightening. But it was a fun little attraction.
That sounds great. Local fish hatchery, the Snowflake Fish Hatchery. I'm sure hundreds of our listeners will try to make a pilgrimage in 2016. Seems like well worth the road trip.
Airplane flight to Phoenix, 3-hour drive, and I think you'll really enjoy it. So we're going to close this down with something I think very near and dear to your heart, Steele.
It's true.
Footwear.
Yeah. Dave, this is the only article of clothing that I buy new. Well.
Underwear? Underwear?
Yeah, I suppose I buy underwear new. I do. Okay. I buy it in bulk from Costco, so it's not really like, whatever.
Yeah, I wanted to get into a little bit why you go to Costco every week. That kind of astounds me. That's amazing. You keep having to get more underwear.
Just burning through it, Dave. As I told you, there's friction burns.
And you don't even have an anal itch to deal with, so I don't know what's going on.
Everything else down there itches, though, Dave, let me tell you. Like scrotal dandruff to end all scrotal dandruff, let me tell you.
I can probably prescribe you some ointment for that, Steele.
Oh, I've got a homemade remedy I rub in pretty regularly.
Is it supplied mostly with items from Costco?
Yeah, it's that Egyptian magic stuff I was telling you about the other day.
So what footwear? You buy this new. What are you buying?
Okay, Dave, I discovered this is a Canadian corporation. They're the world's first fair trade shoe company located entirely in Africa. So they employ African laborers, use African material, and make beautiful leather shoes and bags. And I'm a lot bit torn, because I'm a vegetarian. I don't support animal death, but I do wear leather shoes. And I should probably do something about it, but I haven't yet. But it's called Oliberte. And I bought a pair of boots from them a couple years ago on sale. And this last year, I bought a pair of like slip-ons, these blue suede slip-ons. And I love them. I've got them on right now. They've had a bunch of great sales recently. So if you're looking for sometimes as low as $30 to $60 for these handmade leather shoes, fair trade from Africa. Really, really impressive. So you're looking for leather shoes?
I looked at them this week, and if it wasn't Christmas time and it would have been awkward to buy myself shoes for Christmas, I almost did it though. There were
You
some
did.
pretty cool looking shoes. Yeah,
There's
I
nice
looked at
ones,
them.
huh? Yeah.
So, Steele, one major change in life that I've had to make since we moved from Phoenix is in Phoenix, I never wore socks. Like,
Nice.
ever. I would only wear them at work, then I'd immediately take them off. Always bare feet, always sandals, because it's too free. It was too hot to wear socks. I never wear them.
Did you almost say
Now,
friggin'?
yeah, friggin'.
Oh,
Yeah,
jeez, Dave. It's a family podcast.
I'm sorry. Can we bleep that out,
Yeah,
Steele?
I'll cut it.
Okay. Thank goodness. I feel embarrassed.
Have to tell your state president that you didn't say
But now
flippin'.
I'm wearing socks all the time, Steele.
Oh.
It's kind of gross, but it's comfortable. But my feet are now covered 20 hours a day. I'm even sleeping with socks on some. It's okay. I'm
You're
comfortable
sleeping
with
with
it, but
socks on.
it's cold in my house.
You're a barbarian, Dave.
I learned it from a Swedish mission companion, actually. He always slept in socks. It looked terrible until I started trying it. I was like, hey, this is all right. Give
I'm
it a, you know.
disappointed, Dave. I understand you have to wear socks because it's cold, but sleeping with socks?
Now give it a
You're like
go
a
tonight.
grandpa. You're like a grandpa, Dave.
Give it a go tonight. I think you'll appreciate it. Your feet are going to be toasty. You're not going to accidentally touch your wife's leg, and she's going to have to scream because your feet are ice cold. It's a great move.
Dave, this might be too much information, but a couple years ago, I made the transition to sleeping in the nude. Best decision I ever made.
No. It's the worst. I've tried that a handful of times, and it just feels awful.
No, Dave, it's great, especially because I know if my house catches on fire, I'm going to have some embarrassing stories to tell my neighbors for years.
So, how about just in the nude, but with socks?
Oh, yeah,
Give it
you've
a
done
go.
that. I mean, every once in a while, you just got to keep your toes warm. No, come on, Dave. Nude with socks is like a Red Hot Chili Peppers concert.
Yeah, well, you need at least three socks to pull off the look.
Yeah.
So Steele, those are our favorites from this year. I think there's a lot of good things out there that we might have directed people towards. Honestly, I really like 2015.
Me too,
It was
Dave. And I have
great.
to say, there's one more that you forgot. And it's not on the list, but I wanted to say my favorite non-family member human being this year. It was you, Dave Jensen.
Oh my
You
goodness.
cracked the list. You were my favorite non-human family member. I spent more time with you than probably any other living person who's not a member of my family.
I have definitely spent way more time talking to you than anyone, maybe even more than my wife. It's a close call. But I've enjoyed it.
Wow.
Yeah, so this is my favorite podcast of the year because of this moment right now between us.
Thanks. Only love, Dave. Only love.
Yeah, so next year, come on up to Snowflake. Steel will take you to the hatchery. I think you'll really enjoy it.
I think we're going to try it. We're going to try to come to New Mexico next year, and so we'll see if we can slip over to Arizona.
Yeah, if you're going, for sure. Let us know. I got vacation time, Steel. I'm a medical provider now. They do what I tell them.
They get sick on your schedule.
All right. So, as always, we're going to do some Unchained Melodies. And still, because we're talking about favorites, we're going to do favorite bands of all time. And I know it's hard to pick favorites
Yeah.
and favorite songs from favorite bands. We're approximating, we're doing the best we can to achieve something that is a favorite of ours. I'm going to start us off. It was hard for me to narrow it down. I like a lot of music. But when it came down to it, I went with stuff that was my favorite bands from when I was like 23, and
Yeah.
they still have a place in my heart. But these bands have been with me for more than a decade. So Pavement, you know how I love out-of-tune vocals, out-of-tune guitars. You know I don't like it when bands keep time, and so that's why I love Pavement. I picked Transport Is Arranged.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Steel, Stephen Malkmus nails it again.
Boom. Cream-colored ponies and crisp apple strudels, doorbells and sleigh bells and schnitzel with noodles.
Dave, great song. It sounds a little different than I remember it. Is that a bootleg version or what?
Actually, they had Julia Andrews sing with the group for a little while, and it was a really great EP that they put out.
Okay, here's the album version then.
You better find your way out. You better learn how to run. You better walk away and leave the angles for the shills. Well, I've been thinking for days about the means and the ways that I can hate all I touch. I know you're my lady, but I could trickle. I could flood a voice. Coach taught me to sing. He couldn't teach me to love.
I'm a little stunned you didn't play that when we had our wind instrument one. There's some great flute happening there in the first 30 seconds of that song.
I love it. It's infused with so much humor. He knows he's not the best singer, and he just plays into it. It's great.
That is great, Dave. And that's so you, Pavement Man. Every time I hear Stephen Malkmus's voice, I think somewhere Dave Jensen is robot awkward dancing. Well, Dave, I think you know my favorite musician of all time is Beck, and we did a whole episode for Beck songs, so I'm not going to pick a Beck song today. But I will. I mentioned Damian Jurado as the great concert experience. I think of the last 5 or 10 years, Damian Jurado may be the musician that I've listened to most and most deeply. So this is a Damian Jurado song. I talked about him on our very first podcast before we even invented Unchained Melodies. And this is a song called Museum of Flight, which is a actual museum in Seattle where he's from. And we drove past it on our last trip. Made me think of the song. Made me and Laurel hold each other and tear up a little bit. And
did you listen to the song as you drove past the museum?
I don't have a phone that has data, so my mind I was listening to it.
Okay.
Falling to the ground, I was anxious to be found. You can always go home to the safety of your cloud. Don't let go, I need you to hang around. I'm so and foolishly in love. I turn around to the revealing. What did I learn? It's not that easy. When you get burned, I'm the one going loud. Falling into sound.
I love that song too. It's so beautiful.
I have such a sucker for males with like trembly falsettos.
Uh-huh.
And that song's got it in its fullness. He started working with the producer Richard Swift a couple years ago, and it just really changed and enriched his sound, and that's one of the albums that it really shows. But there's something that, lyrically about that song that really speaks to me too, and I think it's maybe I'm a little too sappy here, but it's about like, it's not that easy when you get burned to go on burning love. And that meant a lot to me, I think, because I felt like I did get burned in love and in relationships, and it was really hard, and I feel really fortunate to be able to keep on burning love and make a different life and a different marriage that worked out better for me. So it's kind of a little inspirational song for me and my wife now.
That's adorable, Stillman. You go give your wife a nice kiss on the cheek.
Going to. Can't wait.
So for me, lyrics, I usually don't, I hardly pay attention to lyrics a lot of the time. And it takes a strong song for me to actually listen to them. And usually I like kind of out there strange lyrics. And my favorite band probably of all time, when in my 20s, I saw them probably 8 or 9 times in concert, Wilco. I loved them. I made you go to a concert one time, I think. Did you go to the one in Salt Lake?
I didn't, Dave. This is a big embarrassment, but I have never been to see Wilco live.
Well, I made everybody go see Wilco. You
I was
didn't
pro
go?
I think I was married, and so
Oh,
I would
I'm
have loved to,
sorry.
but I didn't.
If I could use a time machine, if I could use a time phone, I would give you a call, buddy, because it was
And
great.
Dave, if you could give me a call a little earlier and say, don't do it.
This is 35-year-old Dave Jensen in 2015. You're making a huge mistake. But I love Jeff Tweedy's. I love a lot of his lyrics. They're powerful. Over the past couple of weeks, I've been singing Wilco songs to my girls a lot, and it's hard for me to pick a favorite, but this is one of my favorites. Just fantastic, interesting, kind of out there lyrics. I am trying to break your heart.
Five glorious more minutes on that song too. I feel bad about fading it out.
I love it. Probably of, I guess, any live performance that I've ever enjoyed the most. It's been seeing Wilco play that song live. I just love it.
Yeah, I think Jeff Tweedy is one of the most complex human richest people in music. He just seems like a full human being that's just, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it, but like, I don't want to say authentic exactly, but something about him I just really admire and love as like a person.
I think he shares a lot through his lyrics. Still, you probably don't know this story. I'm going to tell it to you real quick. My wife, when I first got her phone number, I called her a few times. We hung out once or twice, and then she stopped returning my phone calls. And I didn't see her or talk to her for about 6 months. And then I ran into her. I was at a meeting in an office, and she came in to pick something up from the office. And I got up and I left the meeting, and I went and I said hello to her, which, again, itself, I don't know what made me do it, but I did it, and I didn't really think about it again. And then a few days later, she texted me some lyrics to a Wilco song, and that was it. After that, we started dating,
You
and
sold all
now.
your possessions and went to go be with her. Man. She texted you lyrics to Wilco song just because?
She's Ajar. She texted some lyrics from She's Ajar, and
That's beautiful, Dave. I didn't know that story. You
yeah.
know, even now, every time I hear Shot in the Arm, I just think of you. I don't know why.
It's
I do know
beautiful.
why, I guess, but yeah. Okay, Dave, I had a bunch of other choices for my last favorite band of all time, and it's tough. Like, obviously, you thought of Donovan for me, And it's true. I have a crazy love of Donovan. But I have to admit that it's mainly due to Jack Bangeter. He had the true love of Donovan, and I sort of inherited it from him. I've loved Bob Dylan and Van Morrison for many, many years. And I've really loved the folk musician Greg Brown. But the song and the musician that I want to pick is probably the other guy that I've listened to most in the last 10 years. I went and saw him live a few years ago, and it was just this beautiful, kind of life-changing live performance. It's M. Ward. He's made some weird music with Zooey Deschanel. I don't approve of that choice, but as a solo artist, great old-timey radio kind of sound. And on his Wasteland Companion album, he has the closing song. It's called Pure Joy. And I thought I'd try to pick happy-ish songs for once as my favorite songs. And this is a song called Pure
Joy.
Throw
a little wrench in the works, huh?
I know. They're not like upbeat, but they're at least not totally depressing. In lyrical content, at least.
Thought I was falling into a deep depression, thinking all the mystery was all gone, like I was falling into the deep of a Grand Canyon. From the side of a mountain I was hanging on, but now I'm coming up for air. I see my angel on the sand, she's running out to meet me in the waves of the Rio Grande. And it's joy, honey, pure joy, pure joy just to see. Thought my heart was in a rut, a recession. All the colors I'd seen had faded into the black.
On their own, the lyrics could be really saccharine or kind of corny. But I think something about the understated way that they're delivered and something about his voice for me kind of redeems it. And I do, despite its sentimentality, love that song and love M. Ward.
So for some reason, this made me think of a number of years ago, I watched a movie. It was called Old Joy.
Will Oldham.
Yeah. Have you seen this one?
Yes.
And there's a line in it that I just thought of when you played this song. And I don't remember it exactly, but they're talking about kind of sorrows. And Will Oldham says something along the lines of, sorrow is just worn out joy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Two sides of a coin, man.
So just to bring down your song just a little bit.
It's true, Dave. I wouldn't want it any other way.
No. So still, we've all been looking forward to your poem of the year since you mentioned it earlier in the podcast. Let's do this.
Okay, this is a poem by George Oppen. It's called Psalm, and it has a little epigraph. It's Veritas Sequitur, and it's Latin from, I think it's from Thomas Aquinas, and the fragment that he quoted mean truth follows, and the full phrase is truth follows from the existence of things, but he just quoted the truth follows part, and that's the only preface I'll give for the poem. In the small beauty of the forest, the wild deer bedding down, that they are there, their eyes effortless, the soft lips nuzzle, and the alien small teeth tear at the grass. The roots of it dangle from their mouths, scattering earth in the strange woods. They who are there. Their paths nibbled through the fields, the leaves that shade them hang in the distances of sun. The small nouns crying faith in this in which the wild deer startle and stare out.
Yeah, he really paints the picture of a scene really clearly, huh?
Yeah, and for me, I love it because this is very close to like a statement of George Oppen's philosophy. Like he's like, the most important thing that a poem can do is not to say something about a thing or claim that a thing is something else or like something else, but it's merely to acknowledge that these things exist and that their existence is astonishing. It's like almost unexplainable that they are there, that deer exist, that a tree exists, that there's a world that we stand in. It's incredible. And it's amazing and it's astonishing would be the word that he would use. And I love that as a basic orientation of wonder at very small nouns, he says.
That's a great phrase, small nouns. And like I said, I love clarity in writing. I love when someone presents ideas or things just in a kind of crystal clear, ice cold water sort of way of presenting something. It rings so much truer to me.
That's beautiful, Dave, and a great choice of word. There's a famous George Oppen poem when he talks about clarity, clever, clarity. Never did I have any other motive in my poems but to achieve clarity.
So George would be happy that he struck me in that way, I guess.
That's really beautiful. You're a very perceptive reader, listener, Dave.
It's because of all my great depths of knowledge about poetry still. You know.
It's because you live in the world and you keep your eyes open, I think, yeah. Dave, this has been a joy, man. Oprah, who knew the depths that she contained?
She just opens people up. I hope that when she listens to this, that she might add a couple of our favorites to her list this year. And I just hope we open her eyes a little bit, too.
Yeah, I consider it done. Thanks, Oprah.
We'll see you later next time. We'll see you next time, Oprah.
See you next
later.
Time, Oprah. Bye. Goodbye.
Off the chain. Off the chain. Welcome to this world. It's off the chain.
Yeah, it's winter and the anal itch. It's on fire right now. Still, it's not pleasant. My goodness.
It's back with the vengeance.
Yeah. Well, I started exercising a lot last week, and I guess I wasn't drinking enough water. And boom.
Dave, there's itches you just shouldn't scratch.
Anal itch, you scratch it, you're gonna be paying for it for days.